The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Chepstow, Thirsk and Yarmouth on Tuesday afternoon, and a bit of jumping into the evening as well from Sedgefield. Four meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. But right now, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stevie?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. We'll start by looking back at what was a pretty good weekend of racing. We'll also have a look at the Monday jury, and then we'll get your thoughts for Tuesday, Stephen.
Yep.
Where to start? That's the question. There's so much this weekend.
There was so much good stuff, wasn't there?
We'll start... some of the questions in the Monday jury will cover it, but they don't talk about Brown Panther. Winning the Irish St. Ledger. A first group one for Tom Dascombe and Richard Kingscote and Michael Owen. And whilst it was an enterprising ride, it proved to be a pretty emphatic winner in the end.
He did. He was quite a comfortable winner, wasn't he? Very pleased for Richard Kingscote in particular, because I do think he's a very good jockey indeed, Richard. And obviously, he played a blinder on Brown Panther. I mean, Eye of the Storm did go off quite quickly, but he didn't exactly chase him through the race. Although he was quite close to him, he wasn't sort of haring after him. He just settled into a nice gallop in behind him and was basically sort of going the same speed as the rest of them, but six lengths in front of where they were. And obviously, the race from there could only pan out one way from when the pacemaker dropped away. He kicked on, knowing that he stays a couple of furlongs further. And he's galloped all the way to the line, and he's won it emphatically. And the combination of a very good ride from him and some average rides from those in behind have meant that he was a comfortable winner. Obviously, the best horse didn't win the race, but the best ride won the race for them.
Leading light, you on about?
Well, yes. Going into the race, he was the best horse, and obviously probably still just about his. Him and Enki were both quite closely matched at the line, so it'd be interesting to see how they fared in a rematch. And I was quite pleased that Enki ran well, to be honest. Obviously, he's been off... with the exception of his comeback run at Goodwood for the best part of 2 years. So it was a good race in terms of the quality. And I was pleased, as I say, that Richard Kingscote got his Group 1. And it's hard not to like Brown Panther, really. He's been around for a few years, runs in all the top staying races, very consistent. And it was a good effort for him. And he's still an entire as well.
Mm-hmm.
So no doubt he'll probably end up breeding a few jumpers as the years go by.
Yeah. I imagine that's the plan. Obviously, he was a homebred, wasn't he? So
he was, yeah. Trying. Unfortunately, his dam died early this year as well. So I think there's two or three of them siblings that are yet to make the race course. But, she's thrown quite a range. Obviously, Brown Panther's by far the best, but some of them were awful.
Mm.
Couldn't win sellers at Uttoxeter. So it just shows, really, that anything can happen, to be honest. And I'm sure he can't wait to start breeding from him as he bred him himself.
Yep. Sticking with the Irish theme, Australia beaten by the Grey Gatsby in the Irish Champion Stakes.
Yeah.
Seemed quite hard to see that happening before the race, given the run at York.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, again, it was a case really of jockeyship, to be honest. The two pacemakers just like cut each other's throats, which really was a bit pointless. It would have been better, I thought, for one of them to go off and then the other one to take over to make sure it was an end-to-end sort of gallop. But they took each other on. McCadram was far too close to them, and the fact that he kept on gamely in the end was credit to him, because he was far too close to that strong gallop. Al-Kazim, Joseph Brown has said basically he was stuck on his outside and he couldn't get round him. Couldn't get round him to go back on the inner, so he's had to switch wide. But it's just a case of making your ground at the hottest part of the race widest of all, and those two factors of what got him beat personally. Mm. He did battle back when the Great Gatsby came to him, because I thought maybe with a furlong to go the Great Gatsby was going to go by and win, maybe going away, but Australia did fight back, which I to give him some credit. But it very much reminded me that the race of Frankel's winning the St James's Palace Stakes, in that Tom Queeley made all of his ground five wide going around the bend and literally just held on by the narrowest margin that he actually ended up winning by. And obviously subsequent runs showed that that was not the true running. But if you make your ground very wide in the hottest part of the race, it's going to be very difficult when you're being chased by top-class horses to see it out. And, you know, there's the difference between Frankel and Australia.
Yeah. Unless you're Frankel, it's very hard to get away with it, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, in a group one, yeah.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
I mean, and Joseph, you know, he's held his hands up and he said, you know, I made a mistake. And at the same time, he came there travelling quite... If he'd have sat and waited and not got the run, people would have said, well, why didn't he switch out and kick on? And, you know, I do think it was a case of six of one, half a dozen of the other. And obviously, he's the leading middle-distance three-year-old. But, you know, all this stuff, he's the best horse ever had and whatever. It's all rubbish, really. You know what I mean? They have that many good horses that some people said, oh, you know, he's a great horse, he's been beaten and all this. He's not a great horse. He's a very good horse who has won, you know, two derbies and the Jumbo International, which not many horses do, which why sets him apart from others. But he's not a great horse.
Okay.
He's a good, very, very good horse, but he's not great. Great. Frankel is great. See the Stars is great. Going through your unbeaten career or your three-year-old campaign, you are great. Winning group ones at three different distances, you are great. He hasn't done that yet.
Okay.
So he's the best horse in the race and he should have won, but I'm not devastated that he got beat.
Okay, fair enough. Roger Varian had a pretty good weekend.
He did.
He did, yeah. He obviously trained St. Ledger in Kingston Hill, then went to Ireland on Sunday and got another Group 1 prize, this time with Cursory Glance.
Yeah.
So he had a pretty good weekend.
He had a very good weekend. I'm sure he was a very happy man on Monday morning when he woke up. Obviously, we all knew going into the race that Kingston Hill was the best horse again in the Ledger. For me, the biggest question mark going into the race was more whether he'd stay than the ground, because he'd ran perfectly well on good ground, you know. Ground, it was officially good at Epsom, but it was on the quicker side of good. I mean, it was quicker in the Eclipse over a trip that was too short. He ran a very good race there. So I had no worries about all this stuff about watering and everything at the back end of last week. I mean, it was still good to soft good in places. There was a heavy dew every morning, so there was not a lot of moisture leaving the ground. Mm-hmm. And two-thirds of the race is run on the round course, which is where the softest ground was anyway. I mean, I know the times were quick for the straight course races, but the ground was quicker, so logical. So I didn't really have great concern. It's been more whether he stayed, but he had no problem with that. I thought it was a fair result. The best three horses finished first, second and third. Kingston Hill beat Romsdale, confirming the derby form. Snow Sky, for me, is a nice horse. He tries his best, but he's just short of top class, finished in third. I don't think there were many excuses, and everyone really happy.
Yeah. Okay, let's get stuck into the questions in the Monday jury next then. How do you see the arc now after last key weekend before the big race?
Yeah, the trial races. We'll start with the three trials in the order that they happened. Ektot, first of all, is a beautiful looking horse. He's a really eye-taking individual. His first run over further than a mile, and he just sauntered past the others who were sort of going up and down on the one spot. I mean, Adelaide's nearest rival in the end, who actually finished third, would have been closer to him if he'd have got a clear run, which he obviously didn't in the end. But it was just the way that, despite pulling and being sat last, that he sauntered past the others and then found a bit more when Teletex came to him. And to be honest, I was quite impressed by Ektot. The Vermeer, well, Trev, she doesn't look the same horse. I know Cricket Head said afterwards, we're still going to run in the arc, don't rule her out and all this sort of stuff. Mm. I mean, I'd love it if she won. It'd be a great story for her to come back and win it again, but she had so much in her favour last year, being a three-year-old, weight for age, the allowances, everything. That's why three-year-old fillies have got such a good record in the arc, that it's going to be a monumental task for her to come back. I wouldn't even consider backing her now. Whilst Ruler of the World, I sort of don't have a strong opinion on him, really. You know, he didn't win a very good derby. It was his first win that he benefited from a good ride from Frankie, because he stays well. So Frankie thought, well, I'll kick on, and he rolled home. And it was nice to see him win, being a derby winner for the first time since Epsom. But, well,
things are going to have to go seriously wrong for several other horses from Twin the Arc for me.
Well, he came up short last year and he hasn't improved from there, from what I've seen. Should struggle again.
He should. Now the Arc and the Arc as a whole, Avenir Certain, who's 6-1 co-favourite with Ektot and Togruta with us here at William Hill at the moment, he's a very nice filly as well. She's a lovely horse. The stamina concerns for her, she wasn't stopping at the end of the French Oaks, which is 10.5. Mm-hmm. And obviously three-year-old fillies have got a good record. And I like her and Togruta quite a lot. Obviously, I liked Togruta from the start, but the defeat to Tapestry was... I'm not sure if it was, a good ride by Moore, or... I sort of have question marks about York, and I can't sort of quantify them in my own head, if that makes sense, about why it happened and whether it should have done. But again, with the three-year-old fillies having such a good record and the fact that she stays... I'd maybe be more inclined to lean towards Togruta than Avenir Certain. I think Ektot should be co-favourite as well. I don't think he's done anything wrong. The two Japanese horses are interesting. Mm. Just Away, his best form is all at 8 and 9 furlongs. He has won a Group 1 over 10, but every time he's run over further than 10, he's got beat, and that's on quick ground. So if there's any juice in the ground over 12, that would put me straight away off him. Harp Star... the Japanese three-year-old filly won the Japanese 1,000 guineas. But her most remarkable performance was her only defeat, which was Japanese Oaks. Turning into the home straight 3 furlongs from home, she's last of like 20 runners and circles the entire field and gets beat 3/4 of a length and is running on strongly at the end.
Yeah.
That was in May. She's had one run since then against older horses where she beat Goldship, who's also in the betting at 12-1 at Sapporo. And there she, it was a completely different race. She was quite prominent throughout and kicked for home. So she's interesting. And then you get to the others and I'm not really excited by any of them. I mean, Goldship, he's been beat by Harp Star, and he's a good horse again, but... I think it's a weak Arc if he manages to win. I don't like Ivanhoe. Kingston Hill, I would only really consider if there was very soft ground. Well, with soft ground. But Rule of the World, no. Eagle Top, no. Baltic Baroness, no. After that, you're sort of struggling, really. I thought Flintshire ran all right behind Rule of the World. And if there's decent ground at 20-1 each way, I wouldn't be surprised if he made the frame, because he was well fancied for the race last year. And this year he's had a combination of things haven't gone right, so he hasn't had the ground because he needs it quick. And obviously he's trained by Master and Andre Farb. So of all those that, outside of the top six, he'd be the one that I'd give a positive mention to.
Okay. All interesting changes in the betting for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe then. We'll move on from that. So we've still got a few weeks to decide what's going to win. The Champion Stakes could be a belter. Who do you prefer at the moment?
Well, Free Eagle was so impressive at Leopardstown. That, for me, that
he sprouted wings.
He did, yeah, he did. I mean, it was the performance of the weekend, I thought. To be off for a week and a year, 53 weeks since he last saw the race course, to travel and then quicken and leave very good horses toiling so impressively was quite remarkable, to be honest. And... I think if they line up, well, if there's he, Australia and the Grey Gatsby all at Ascot, A, I'd fancy that Australia probably to reverse the form with the Grey Gatsby if things go straight forward. But I think Free Eagle could beat them both.
Yeah. Mm. What do you make of Cyrus Zegler if he goes? I mean, he's been back to his best this year.
He has, yeah. He's an old boy now, but he's won the race, hasn't he? But he's been beaten in it twice as well. And I fancy that might be the case again.
Okay, fair enough. So you're leaning towards Free Eagle?
Yeah, at this stage, yeah.
Yeah. Did we see a potential classic winner at Doncaster, Leopardstown or the Curra?
I was underwhelmed by Glen Eagles. Although he's a likable horse, actually. I don't actually have anything against him, but he just doesn't really excite me very much, to be honest. Cursory Glance was a good performance in the Moy Glare. The horse that I did like in the Moy Glare, I have to say, was the Aidan O'Brien horse, who has got a beautiful pedigree as well. She is called Found. She finished in third place in the end. It was only her second run. As I say, she's by Galileo out of Red Evie, who won the Locking Stakes, so Group 1 winner there as a dam as well.
Yeah.
And she won over a mile on debut at the Curra. She then dropped back to 7 on Sunday behind Cursory Glance. And she was still very green. When Joseph gave her a couple of smacks with the whip, she sort of leaned away from it. I think she was a bit outpaced as well, dropping in trip, because obviously you go from a maiden over a mile. Two-year-old maidens generally over a mile, apart from the good ones, a bunch of slow horses. So the way the race was run, the tempo was all completely different. And she was staying on really well at the line. So I think she's going to be a very good horse. Classic winner is probably a bit strong, but I was really taken by her. But if there's a classic winner, you've got to say John F. Kennedy, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
It's a bit obvious, to be honest, I know. But he won the race that Australia won last year. He's been very well touted from the start. And he's actually living up to the early hype anyway. I'm sure if he wins a Racing Post Trophy or something, then the hype wagon will go overboard like it tends to. But at the moment, he's moving along nicely, and he was a good winner.
Yeah, he'd have to be a pretty good horse to be named John F. Kennedy, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they do save their good names for the good horses. Yeah. They're you know,
pretty good at that, aren't they?
Yeah, Camelot was one of them. They left that waiting for years to find the right horse. So.
Yeah. Fair enough. Which other horses caught your eye in the past week?
Well, really, I mean, I know. Well, I really probably should have said found with that performance there in that question. To be honest, third in the Moy Glare. So, I know I've mentioned her already, but she did catch my eye. So, I'll mention her.
Okay, fair enough. It's quite a popular consensus in the Racing Post Monday jury, but I think Muthmere as well.
Mm. Well, to get hampered over 5.5 furlongs the way he did.
And then, he still set track record.
Yeah, take off and set a track record. He's a great performance. And it's also, I think, indicative of what William Haggas thinks of the horse, that he's skipping the William Hill Air Gold Cup next week to run him in a listed race, which is worth a quarter of the amount at Ascot. Because I think if you thought he was a good handicapper, he'd say, well, we'll go for the winning. We've got nothing to lose.
I think he's better than that.
Yeah, so, which I think we knew anyway, but I think that is really sort of, his performance at Doncaster, and B, the fact that they're going to do that solidifies it, yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he wins well at Ascot, if he turns up in the champion sprint on Champions Day back at Ascot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Was there too much of a good thing this weekend, and would you move any meetings?
No, the racing, outside of the current long shot, well, the British racing was rubbish on Sunday. Mm. Absolutely terrible at Foss, Lass and Bath, to be honest. So it was quite nice to not have to really worry about it and enjoy the current long shot on Saturday. And Saturday, no, again, I thought it was fine. Doncaster was in the afternoon. Their four best races were the first four.
Yeah.
And they were all wrapped up, and when they only had one race at Leopardstown at that point. So I thought the overlap was quite nice. Donnywood had finished before the three best races kicked off at Leopardstown. And again, outside of Doncaster and Leopardstown on Saturday, it was run-of-the-mill stuff. Chester doesn't really excite me at the best of times, to be honest, for all that, you know, they have good racing. But Lingfield and Bath, again, wasn't fantastic either. So I thought, to be honest, it worked quite well.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the way they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, concentrate on Doncaster for the first four races, like you say, and then a €2 million card over in Leopardstown to take you into the evening.
Yeah, I think it worked. Stuff. Yeah, there's no clashes. And interesting, a William Hill odds compiler who's in the Racing Post, Damien, he said there that it didn't clash in terms of timing. It worked quite well. An early indication suggests there was a little effect on turnover.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, everybody should be happy.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Final question, and a nice, easy one to finish with here, Stevie boy. Yeah, who wins the Air Gold Cup?
I hope William Haggas runs Muthmere. No, I'm joking. I'm, to be honest, Mark, sprint handicaps are, as a type of race, my least favourite.
Yeah.
And I could probably sit here and name 20 horses and still not pick the winner. But I mean, O'Shea Murphy's mentioned York Glory, and I did a preview for the Portland on Friday, and I mentioned him positively. He had Ryan Moore on him. He was back off his last winning mark when he won the Wokingham last year. But he just didn't run very well, to be honest, in the end. But again, he's a horse that could bounce back. I mean, Blaine...
He had a bit of a problem with York Glory on Saturday, though.
Did he?
Yeah. He had the £10 penalty that is my nap.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, yeah, he'll probably win next week. Just don't nap him.
Yeah.
And there was also... And the Gibbo, our very own Gibbo, now a legend as well.
Yeah, a winning legend.
Mentions Mass Rally.
Yeah.
Who I like, Mass Rally, like, you know, because he's a bit of a thinker, isn't he? But
he's got to have everything go right. But he's running the Duke of York was a great run. The last two runs, particularly the one in the listed race where there was only eight runners, he was never going to win. But he still travelled with all his old zest. And they've obviously skipped Donny, I think, for air, which is fair enough because it's worth three times as much.
Yeah.
Mascarelli in York Glory. Blaine was quite impressive at York. How long's a piece of string, Mark?
Yeah. And it's 10 to on the field, so just shows how
wide. If I get the 1-2-3 with those three horses I mentioned there,
you're going to have to do the tricast.
Play this on loop endlessly.
Yeah, I'll get your plaque made.
Thank you.
Right, I think we'll leave that there. Because Tuesday's racing is fast approaching, and we'll get Stephen's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Tuesday. Thirsk and Yarmouth are the two venues that Stephen's had a look at. And the first race is the 3:40 at Thirsk, which is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. It's got 11 of them in the lineup here, Stephen, and it's quite an open race here.
It is. There's some great old names in this race as well, Mark. The likes of Smarty Sox, Talent Scout, Phil Gunner Kirkup, etc. The one that I actually like in the race is the Great Gabriel, who's trained by Mick Appleby now. One for Alan McCabe at Southall back in June on his last run for the yard. Off for a couple of months, joined Mick Appleby and managed to just go down fighting in the closing stages at Wolverhampton a couple of weeks ago. Now, I thought that was a good run because it was over an extended eight furlongs and 141 yards, which would, for me, be at the very upper echelons of his stamina, and I think that's probably why he got caught at the line. But his last two wins have been over seven, both at Southall, but he's won at seven at Chepstow, Lingfield, and he is a better horse on the all-weather as well. 6 from 20 on the all-weather, but only 1 from 9 on turf. However, that's reflected in his ratings. He's £9 lower on grass than he's on the all-weather as well. And Mick Appleby's been doing very well at improving horses once he gets them. And if this horse, you know, does find a little bit more back on turf here, I think he might run quite a good race. 7 furlongs as well at Thirsk. They tend to go off very quickly, which I think will help him as well, as he does obviously stay a little bit further to stay on well, hopefully, and pick up some of the pieces late on. I mean, to be fair, he won at Southwell or Southall in June, but before that he had runs in sort of three races which he had no chance in, and it was the same the one before that, to be honest. So although he's got a few duck eggs before that bit of form, there were races that he couldn't win anyway. So I'm going to go for the Great Gabriel. The others are all just sort of struggling for a bit of form. Smarty Sox doesn't seem to be the same horse this year as he was last. He's even ran poorly at likes of York and Donny, where he normally runs quite well. Talent Scout won by a nose, but I think the handicap has got hold of him now as well. Phil Gunner Kirkup back to Thirsk, I think, will probably run a better race than he did at Leicester last time, to be fair, whilst Kingscroft is consistent. But I think the Great Gabriel, with Mick Appleby, will hopefully win.
Okay, the Great Gabriel then, the selection in the 3:40 at Thirsk. To Yarmouth we go for the 4:30. The first day of the East Anglian Festival?
Eastern Festival. Yeah, okay. 3 days at Yarmouth.
Yeah.
The best race is there's a listed race on Wednesday for fillies, which is normally a decent affair. I mean, this is disappointing, really. There's £20,000 for this 4:30 at Yarmouth. There's only five runners. Alex Vino, who's trained by Sir Michael Stout, he won at Lingford last time over 10 furlongs under Ryan Moore, and before that won at Sandon over 10 furlongs but got beat over 12 in between. He is going back up to 1.5 here. And, I mean, obviously he's by High Chaparral, won the Derby, but he's out of an Oasis Dream mare. So Ponty's obviously a stiff 12, so I'd be inclined to forgive him that run anyway, and he's got a visor for the first time. So I think he's likely to run well. Trip to Paris has run a couple of races of late that he couldn't win, and the slight drop in grade might help him. I mean, he was last in the Shergar Cup and 14th behind Battersea last week, so that might help him. But the one I actually fancy is Kinsaza, who's trained by Luca Cumani in the mount of Andrea Azzini. Kinsaza has only had 5 starts, won a maiden at Kempton, stepped up to 12 and won comfortably at Salisbury in a race that's traditionally a decent affair, the Bibury Cup. Was 7th behind Battersea and Ascot in July, hasn't run since then, so he's had 2 months off, time to strengthen. Cumani Yard obviously going really well with the winners that they had last week. Andrea Azzini is riding fabulously at the moment. And I think he'll go very close indeed.
Kinshasa, the selection in the 4:30 at Yarmouth then, and moving on to the final race we're going to look at, which is the 5:30 at Yarmouth, and this is a Class 3 condition stakes over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. And I suppose we could start here with Rex Imperator, who plied his trade in better company than this in the past. A bit of a signal of a return to form last time. Does he... He's been expensive to follow, though, hasn't he?
He has been expensive to follow. But again, he's another horse, as I mentioned once or twice, Mark, that hasn't really had conditions to suit him, to be fair. He had 4 runners on soft ground at Warwick last time, which I don't think would have suited him, personally. I mean, he was last in the Stewards' Cup, which he'd won last year. He was last behind Slade Power in the July Cup, which he couldn't win. He was last at Royal Ascot, almost second last in the King's Stand, which was the wrong trip. But he's run before that at Windsor. He was second on good ground over 6 furlongs and listed race. A very good run under Frankie. Before that, he was well down the field in the Sprint Cup at Haydock, which again, he couldn't win. But then he was second in listed race at York and he won the Stewards' Cup. So this is more realistic. The ground's quick, which I think is good for him. I think he will... Well, I think he'll win, basically. He's going to be the choice for Ex-Imperator. In this race. The opposition, Krypton Factor, is obviously in his heyday, he's a Group 1 winning sprinter, but he's not the same horse that he was, I don't think, personally. Clear Spring, for me, is not good enough. Kubala is unlikely to be good enough. For all that was his first run of the season when he ran behind Tropics at Newmarket, and he's entitled to come on for that. And he's sort of third behind Tropics, fourth behind Hitchens, only beaten 5 lanes by Mass Rally. Are okay runs last year, so I'm not totally anti-Kubala. And then you've got the old boy Royal Rock, who's won this race twice, at least, 2013 and 2011. He also likes Yarmouth as well. He's thrice a course and distance winner, this horse. But he is 10 now, which means that I think he's vulnerable to a younger pair of legs. For all that, 2 of his 3 runs this year were actually good efforts behind Music Master and Justinio, so he's the big danger back at Yarmouth, speaking to win the race for a third time to Rex Imperator, who I think will hopefully win.
OK, let's have a summary then, Stephen. Quick spin through your selections for Tuesday.
The selections are in the 3:40 at Thirskmark, the Great Gabriel on his second run for Mick Appleby. In the 4:30 at Yarmouth, Kinshasa for the much-informed Kumani-Atsini combination. And in the 5:30, hopefully Rex Imperator can foil Royal Rock's bid for a third win in the race.
Good work, Stephen. Thank you very much, and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. Chepstow, Thirsk and Yarmouth are the 3 meetings in the afternoon. We have jumping from Sedgefield into the evening as well. So 4 meetings, do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.